This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
So the Yankees ultimately finally got some production from the bottom part of their order.
We talked about the worker bees yesterday, Benny.
And the worker bees came through for the Yankees this time.
Did
the
they
grand
ever?
Slam by Anthony Volpe, which I believe would have only been a home run in one park in Major League Baseball. You had the Austin Wells solo home run. That was a legit shot.
That was tank, man.
And you had the Gleyber Torres three-run homer, which I believe also is not a home run in most parks. But, you know, it's the Yankee Stadium. Will Smith also
Will
got
Smith
one that would not have been a home run.
Wall scraper, yeah.
Wall scraping home run. But the Yankees did get production from the bottom of their order. That's been the formula for the Dodgers winning so many games. And they turned it into 11 runs, and they get Game 4 of the World Series. I think my question is, do the Yankees take any... I mean, I'm sure they will try to take some confidence, momentum, whatever, into Game 5 from yesterday. But they won't face any of those pitchers. None of those pitchers they saw yesterday will pitch in the game today.
No.
I mean, unless the game goes 20 innings.
They're getting the big boys.
They're
today.
Not seeing anyone other than Jack Flaherty and the absolute upper end of the Dodgers bullpen today.
Yeah,
so,
you're going to get Bonda. You're going to get Trinan. You're going to get Kopech. You're going to get
Vessia.
You're going to get the creme de la creme from Dave Roberts and his staff tonight. Your only hope, if you're the New York Yankees, is that your $300 million man, Gerrit Cole, goes out and pitches the game of his life and holds that offense at bay.
He pitched a damn good game one,
did.
But you got to score.
Yeah, you got to get to Flaherty. If you get to Flaherty, you can win with your ace on the mound, as you should. I personally don't think that they're going to win tonight. But if I'm the Yankees, I slept a little bit easier last night knowing we got one, and I don't care who we face. These guys are still, you know, pretty good pitchers, man. And, you know, we hit the ball hard. We still kind of were sloppy, still made some mistakes that we could clean up. They need to do that ASAP. But I do feel like, okay, it's Jack Flaherty. Like, we can hit him. We've seen him once already. They've seen Gerrit Cole. But you got your ace on the bump today, Benny. I think you do have a lot of confidence going in.
Perhaps the most important run of that game for the Yankees might have been the 11th run. Not in terms of winning the game, but who knocked it in. And that was Aaron Judge, who, you know, whatever has been going on, I'm sure it felt very good for him to hit a ball hard on a line and drive a run in. If I'm a Yankees fan, my hope is that, you know, hey, all it takes is one sometimes, and a guy gets locked in, and the best way for the Yankees now to come back in this series is for Aaron Judge to magically once again be Aaron Judge again.
Yeah.
And, you know, take over games and, you know, hit a two-home run game would go a long way tonight toward, you know, getting this series to Los Angeles. He's done it plenty of times this season. You know, the guy was unstoppable for most of the regular season. The best hitter since Barry Bonds. We just have not seen it at all in this postseason, in this World Series.
Yeah, you look at his stat line, 1-for-3 with an RBI, no Ks. I think that's the most important part. Did grab a walk. But you look at the bottom, man, of Volpe, Wells, and Verdugo accounted for 7 of the Yankee runs last night. 7 of 11. And you just can't put a price on that. Volpe swing was one of the cooler moments. I mean, again, I think everybody knows his story. Jersey kid, grew up a huge Yankee fan, a huge Jeter fan. You know, is a real, real whiz with the glove. Him getting that swing off Daniel Hudson last night to electrify that place. I mean, you're dead without it. You're dead. And Alex Verdugo turned in one of the best ABs I think I have seen the entire postseason. About a 9 or 10 pitch AB.
Yep.
Ends up getting it, driving in 2 runs there.
Was that the one that ended with the fielder's choice grounder?
Yep.
They got it home plate and turned into a 5-run inning.
Into a 5-run inning. And his AB just up there grinding on sliders at his feet. Fastballs away, just a really brilliant AB from Alex Verdugo. But Wells, too. Wells getting a couple of big hits early was huge for their confidence.
I think kind of some of the unsung stars of this series that'll probably never get mentioned if the Dodgers do go on and win. The Yankees bullpen's actually been really good.
They have.
Other than the grand slam given up by Nestor Cortes, who isn't even a reliever, haven't given up any runs this series. 5 more shutout innings yesterday, including some really big pitches when the game was very much in in doubt. It was 5-4. It was 6-4. You got that Dodgers lineup. All those guys, you're thinking, boy, it only takes a walk and a hit, and all of a sudden the Dodgers are in business. Well, and Holmes, Leiter Jr., and Weaver came in with 7 strikeouts and really shut the door on any potential Dodgers comeback.
Leiter Jr. against Shohei Ohtani with a runner on base. I mean, my stomach was in knots. And Leiter Jr. is not an overpowering guy at all. I was shocked when they went to him. Boy, he got Shohei to fish, and it was pretty spectacular. Benny, but here's the other thing. If you're a Dodger fan, you know you can break out for 10 runs almost any day. I mean, it doesn't really matter. You've done it. But in this series, check this out. Game one, 2 runs over the first 9 2/3 innings, okay, before the Grand Slam. 2 runs in 9 2/3 innings. Game two went scoreless after the third. Game three, 2 runs after the first inning. And game four, 2 runs after the first inning. The bullpen is bearing down. The Dodgers are not. You know, they're not adding on. And boy, that is such a familiar feeling for we Padre fans. It gives you a little bit of cause for concern if you're a Dodger fan. But again, you have such good players. You know you can hang a 4-spot, a 5-spot, anytime. I don't think you have any reason to be super worried right now.
I don't think Shohei has done anything to show after his injury that he's going to be anywhere near what Shohei was before his injury.
Knock on wood.
We'll see. Yeah. I mean, we don't know for sure yet, but you know, he has not really taken over either of those games or any of these games in this World Series so far.
Had an opportunity last night, and again, man, all the credit goes to Mark Leiter for making a devastatingly nasty 3-2 pitch. They moved his feet a little bit early, too. Went kind of up and into him, Luis Gil did, and which I thought, you know, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. You got to move these guys' feet. I thought the Yanks got screwed on that Giancarlo hit-by-pitch. One of those things where you go to offer the ball, hits your knuckles, and your momentum carries you around. That's not a swing. He's not swinging for the – they got to change that rule. They really do.
You're kind of reacting to the ball hitting you.
You're reacting to the ball hitting you.
Yeah.
And I guess the only thing you can do in that moment is drop the bat, but you're just trying to stop, and you just got dotted in the finger. So, yeah, that's kind of one of those things they probably need to take a look at. But I thought all in all, man, like, that's the exact game the Yankees needed. And to be honest, it's the exact game that the Dodgers needed if they weren't going to win. They needed that exact game. You didn't chase.
I mean, the worst case would have been if you had used all your high leverage relievers and lost. So it wasn't the worst case scenario for the Dodgers either.
But they've shown the ability to punt games and still come back.
I do think that, you know, there is the risk that, as I said earlier, Dave Roberts did what the Yankees were hoping he would do. If you're a Yankees fan, you're hoping that they kind of punt with the lower leverage relievers in that game and give you a chance to get back in the series. And then, you know, I'm hoping that Gerrit Cole is nasty today. You get to a game 6, and then Aaron Judge gets hot, and all of a sudden, you're pulling off a miracle. Yeah. It's a long shot, but that's the hope if you're a Yankees fan.
So I after the game last night, I know we're about to play Take on Woods, but after the game last night, I put on the comeback. I needed something to go to sleep, and I put on the comeback. The new
Watch a little bit of that over the weekend.
The new Netflix special on the Red Sox Yankees. I went and revisited. I talked to my dad this morning. I said, hey, take your Yankee hat off and go watch this documentary. I had no idea the behind the scenes of this. It's truly staggering. We can do a deep dive on it once you get a chance to maybe watch a little bit of it. Highly recommend going to watch it. But you see, Ben, how it all materializes. Down 3-0. And what did Millar say? Don't let us win tonight. And they won. And don't let us win tonight. And they won. And the next thing you know, the complete shift of terror and momentum. They get the momentum. The Yankees get the terror. Listen, I'm not going to let myself go there at all. But the fact that that's happened before, not in the World Series, I get it, is got to be in the back of Dave Roberts' mind. It has to. And in the back of the mind of Dodger fans. This would be the worst thing that ever happened to you.
I need a contestant for Take on Woods. Phone lines are open. If you want to battle Woods, call in quickly here. 833-288-0973. You can qualify to win those tickets to San Diego State's basketball season Wednesday at Viejas Arena. 833-288-0973. Well, you call in. Want to congratulate, unofficial, but the news that broke last night that former Padre Will Venable is going to be the next manager of the Chicago White Sox.
Friend of the program.
Friend of the program.
Love Will. Great team.
Friend of a lot of Padres Twitter and was always a fan favorite. Went and coached with Bruce Bochy with the Texas Rangers and now is going to be a skipper in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Or almost Major League
and
Baseball.
And I saw some people weighing in going, oh, dude, why would you want that job? And then other people, White Sox fans, go, actually, dude, like, they could have some of the nastiest starting pitching next season with Crochet coming back, Drew Thorpe coming back. They got another kid, Burke, that's really, really nasty. Like, he's got some tools
to work
with.
We saw some good pitching
in
that series. Even though the Padres swept him, we saw some good pitching in that series.
The toughest sweep I've ever seen.
Bro, yeah. Remember every guy that came out of the pen? You're like, can we trade for this guy? Because he throws 99 and with movement. Like, I'd look at their ERAs and be like, well, he's got a 2.4. They have a whole stable of guys that all are at like a 2.5 ERA that throw smoke.
It is kind of curious in that I think a lot of people thought that Will might just be the manager in waiting for Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
You know, how long was Bochy going to do that?
Well, what does that tell you?
Tells me that Bruce Bochy is not really thinking about stepping away or retirement again. That may want to do it another 3 or 4 more years.
Yeah.
And, you know, Will has been a guy mentioned as a future major league manager for a few years now, so
he's paid his dues.
This is not surprising in the least bit that he got that job, and reportedly was also up for the Miami job. Still think that's probably going to Gabe Kapler, but was getting some serious interviews, and this was definitely in the cards for Will Venable. So congratulations to friend of the program.
Well, when it becomes official, we could maybe try to catch up with him.
Yeah, usually Major League Baseball doesn't like news to break during the World Series, so I don't know where that one leaked, where there was an agent who said something. I don't know why that last night it came out, but That was the big news. You know, we're running a little behind. You want to push back, take on Woods, maybe next hour?
Yeah, we had a caller, and then
he dropped off.
That's okay.
He thought we were just giving away the ticket.
That's okay. Let's push it back. We can do it at the 8:20 segment, because I do want to save a little time for Don't Do This, which is coming up next. We have someone very early still in their professional career. But he's
time.
On a Hall of Fame Don't Do This track.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, you know, there's the Antonio Browns. You got the legends of Don't Do This. He's not there yet, but he's definitely...
he's getting there.
He's definitely making an early statement.
He's had an interesting year.
For the DDT Hall of Fame. That is coming up after a check of traffic with Bennett Woods here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
3 stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let me be clear. It takes years of hard work and dedication to make it to the Don't Do This Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's reserved for the best of the best, or in this case, the worst of the worst.
Antonio Brown, he's on there.
Yeah. Jameson Williams isn't there yet. He's just too early in his NFL career, but he is certainly compiling a nice list. You'll remember last year that Jameson Williams was suspended 4 games for violating the NFL's gambling policy.
Yes.
This year, just a week ago, he was suspended 2 games for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing substances policy.
Indeed.
And now in the wake of that, we find out about a new story involving Jameson Williams today. The consistency is impressive. And this is actually more of a complex Don't Do This story involving police in Detroit and a traffic stop that was made with Jameson Williams actually as a passenger driving in a car with his brother. Pulled over a couple of weeks ago, and officers with body cameras asked both, do you have any weapons in the car? And they cooperated and said, yes, there are 2. One in the back seat, which was registered to his brother.
Yep.
And one under the passenger seat, which was registered to Jameson.
Correct.
Only his brother, though, had the concealed weapon permit. Jameson did not. Now,
registered gun.
It was.
Legal gun,
you know,
just without, not able to conceal and carry.
So where the story kind of takes a bit of a turn is that the police department is the one that's actually being investigated right now. Got some questions from a local TV station, WXYZ. All right, so if you stopped him and he didn't have the proper permit and you put him in handcuffs, Why did you let him go at that point?
Right.
And they're now looking into their policies and procedures as to why, in fact, a NFL player who, by the way, repeatedly identified himself on the body camera, by the way, played for the Detroit Lions,
yeah.
You know, trying to maybe hopefully get, you know, some cachet out of it, you would think, did get released. Was he treated differently than someone else would have been treated in that situation who didn't have a permit for a concealed carry when he was pulled over for a traffic stop? Now, they weren't cited for anything.
No.
They were let go and free to leave.
Yeah, and he did say, like, this is for protection. I live in Detroit, you know, and Detroit, that's true. That's true. And like you said, I don't think he really did anything wrong. But again, you keep kind of getting caught up in these scrapes. Hope he can turn it around. Talented player.
To Jameson's credit as well, apparently he did alert the team, said, hey, I was in this traffic stop.
This
just want to let you know. This is what happened. It has now come out, and obviously there's going to be more of an investigation done by the Internal Affairs Department. You never want to get Internal Affairs in on the case. IA.
I feel like you would be an internal
cops
affair.
For God. The cops.
Don't you, Paulie, feel like Ben would be an IA?
Someone's got to do it. I mean, you can't just hate the IA officer. It's a tough job, obviously.
That Paulie and I over just calling you a scab.
It's a tough job. You got to respect that.
Yeah, for sure. But
someone has to police the police.
Why are you trying
the IA officer.
Why are you trying to wrap Paul and I?
He's just as much of a member of the department as anyone else, yet doesn't get to enjoy the same camaraderie with his brethren.
Okay. Because you're... Yeah, what if you snitch on us?
You think that I would snitch to, like, Adam?
Paulie, all he did was put a little bit of marijuana in his pocket. That's it. There was so much there, he just took a little bit. Is that really the worst thing?
It's a slippery slope, though. Because if he takes it the first time, well, isn't he going to go back and take
more
the next time from the evidence locker?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
No, just from the bust.
Oh, just from the bust.
Yeah.
He didn't actually break into the evidence
Better
locker.
Better with me than, you know, somebody else.
What about our prize locker here at Odyssey? Woods, it was just one KSON t-shirt that you took. I mean, what's the big deal? There's a million of them.
Yeah, what does it hurt?
Who am I actually hurting?
It's just one send Fran Mill to the All-Star Game sign.
Which probably exists in there somewhere.
You don't remember these?
Oh, I remember them.
Oh, I'm pretty sure there's a stack of them.
All right, we'll give them away at the Christmas and holiday extravaganza. So if you do get invited, you will get a send Fran meal. I had a send Eric Hosmer to the All-Star Game t-shirt.
I'll throw this in because it won't ever happen. Give those out the whole show, and then Fran meal shows up at the end of the extravaganza.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
That would be incredible. All right, I will just update you guys on a story we did earlier in the week. We came in Monday, and we actually had a decent laugh at Anthony Richardson, who was playing in the game, and after the game, took himself out of a play, an important play. And they asked him after the game, Anthony, why did you take yourself out of the play?
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there, what I did, and I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play, so I just,
tapped out.
This whole thing, I just needed a break right there.
He tapped out, got to catch his breath on the sideline. Well, got a lot of blowback for that this week. Former NFL players, Pat McAfee hit him pretty good. So they've made a quarterback change, Ben. They're going to go with 17-year veteran Joe Flacco against the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday night. I do feel that it's, I think it's a bit of a lesson for him. And in fact, center Ryan Kelly said, I think he knows that's not the standards he needs to play up to and the rest of the team holds him to. I know he's going to take some criticism for that, and rightfully so. It's a tough look. He's out there giving it all for his team. It's not always pretty at times. So Flacco, who has started three games for the Colts, he's gone 2-1. He's thrown 7 touchdowns. Not the worst option, but I feel like it's a bit of a lesson for Anthony Richardson, and hopefully he learns from it because he does have a lot of talent.
I think that Joe Flacco just might be their better option right now.
Yeah, maybe.
He's kind of hit a learning curve, struggle, Anthony Richardson in his career, and Flacco was actually pretty solid last year. He kind of had a comeback player of the year type season. I don't remember if he won it or not, but he was certainly a candidate for it, and he just might be the best choice at the moment for the Indianapolis Colts.
The timing, too, is pretty spectacular.
All right, finally, I thought this was great. A little doo-doo this for a Wednesday.
DD mega doo-doo.
Kind of missed the very short two-game Brent Rooker era from the San Diego Padres. So just, again, a reminder of his 2022 stats. Two games, 7 at-bats, No hits, no walks, four strikeouts. And he was then sent off. He went to the Kansas City Royals and then ended up with the Oakland A's, and where he has had a pair of really breakout seasons. He thought he had a good year in 2023 when he had 30 home runs and hit .246. Well, this last year really stepped it up to another level. Hit .293, .365 on base percentage, 39 home runs. But because he plays for the A's, Brent Rooker remains under the radar, at least when it comes as to national baseball fans. And he took advantage of that yesterday as a special correspondent for Major League Baseball at the World Series. And he's out with Yankees fans, and he's doing a little trivia game, just acting like he's a normal reporter at the World Series, offering a bucket of beers if anyone can answer some Brent Rooker trivia questions. But no one,
they don't know,
none of these guys knows that it's actually Brent Rooker who is doing the questioning.
All right, you know who Brent Rooker is with the A's?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. If you can tell me how many homers you hit this year. Free bucket of beer.
It was on my fantasy baseball.
Oh.
29? Higher than
29.
No, 34.
Also higher than 34. You can keep,
really?
You can keep guessing.
39.
He's the one who got it. He's bucket of Budweiser for your guy right there. Yeah. Did you win your fantasy league this year?
No, I came in third place.
I tried my best. That's on me. I tried my best. I should have done better.
Tried my best.
No idea.
Brent Rooker was my first pickup, and he was a dog.
Yeah.
You're Brent Rooker.
Yeah.
You're Brent Rooker. Yeah. You look like such an average.
You're hammered. So that's sick.
You're hammered.
I do. I am. That's what I am. I'll know what I do.
Yeah, brother.
That's right. All right. All right. Good to meet
you. One guy's just smiling at him like,
yeah, for sure.
It's his long lost love.
Awesome.
He said, yeah, Brent Rooker was on my fantasy. He was the dog.
He's a dog.
He was great. I love Brent Rooker. And he goes, yeah, I'm Brent Rooker.
He was drafted by the Twins.
How you doing?
Drafted by the Twins in the first round. Traded by the Twins with Taylor Rogers to the San Diego Padres for a player to be named later, who ended up being Chris Paddock and Emilio Pagan. Padres sent Brian Medina to the Twins to complete the trade. That's a good deal that the Padres made. Now, they did not hang on to Brent Rooker. They traded him to the Kansas City Royals for one Cam Gallagher.
Mm.
And then the Royals DFA'd him. Picked up,
which is even worse.
It's
at least
even
the Padres
worse.
Got, something
got something
for him.
But I would kill to have Brent Rooker here. Kill. They're not letting him go. I don't know what his contract status is.
I mean, weren't any signs necessarily of that coming.
No.
I like to point to the fact that A.J. Preller, he sees it, whatever it is. I mean, he picked Brent Rooker out of the lineup. Like, that's the guy I want as the throw-in into the trade.
But
he's good at that, by the way.
But
Jake Cronenworth. That's the guy I want thrown in.
But only seven ABs.
In the trade.
But only seven ABs for a backup catcher.
Yeah, and, and I don't remember what the roster situation. Sometimes you just
can't
hold
keep
on
everybody.
To everybody. You can't keep everybody.
Yeah.
But AJ does a pretty good job. Matt Waldron.
Throw in. Yep.
Player to be named later.
In the Clevenger.
You know, that's a testament, not just to AJ, but his scouting department, the guys who do the grunt work of going and watching a ton of games on minor league fields and other ballparks and going, that's, you know what, if we ever have a chance to pick up that guy, like, on the cheap, I like some, there's some things that I think we can do with him.
He's a stud,
and
dude.
Brent Rooker is one of those guys.
Stud.
Didn't work out for the Padres, but they saw something in him, and
39,
there was something there.
39 bombs in that
big,
cavernous
giant,
dump. No offense. But that's an accomplishment, man. That's an accomplishment.
I don't think you're offending anyone by calling the Oakland Coliseum a dump.
Well,
not a
maybe.
Single person.
Maybe.
Everyone agrees it's a dump.
I don't want to be mean.
It's a dump.
Yeah, it is. Feel bad for him.
I wonder
though.
If I clip that and post it. Will A's fans jump all over Ben and you?
Like, I feel bad for A's fans.
Probably.
It's not their fault their stadium is a dump.
Yeah, no, it's not their fault at all.
It just was.
Yeah.
All right, that's a don't and do this for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Where in the world is Adam Jones? Actually, we don't know. Paulie is trying to track him down. We'll see if we can.
We'll see what happens.
We can find him, whether he's in Japan, Russia, Yugoslavia. I guess there is no more. The Czech Republic maybe. Who knows?
We don't know
where Adam Jones is, but if we can track him down, he is joining us next on a Big League Wednesday.
If we can get him, we'll get him.
With Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. saw that Tommy Pham was covering the World Series yesterday, was doing like interactions with fans, Q&A during the series.
Yeah.
And the point was made when it came to the fans in the right field corner. I wouldn't try to do that if Tommy Pham was the guy. Mookie Betts, nice guy. You know, he was very calm about it. Didn't overreact. Didn't try to climb up and murder anyone.
Does Mookie Betts do Muay Thai and Taekwondo and all the things that Tommy Pham does?
If someone had grabbed,
I'm good at fighting.
Tried to grab Tommy Pham's wrist and hold on to it, that guy might lose a limb. If they had tried that with him. So they're lucky that it was Mookie and not Tommy.
He would have gone Ron Artest, and he would have had every right to do so.
Would have been hard to argue.
Yeah.
Curious what our next guest.
I'm a very good fighter. You know, I don't do Muay Thai, Kung Fu, and box for no reason.
That's it. I mean, he said it.
Legend.
I love him.
Curious
legend.
How our,
I've always loved him. I will always love him.
Next guest would have handled a situation like that. We've got Adam Jones standing by. He will join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. You know, we've already had a lot of discussion about fans and outfielders this season with Jerks and Profar at Dodger Stadium, but we welcome back the five-time All-Star outfielder, Adam Jones, Gold Glove winner. Good morning, Adam.
How you guys doing?
Oh, good. How you doing?
You sound good.
You sound tired.
You know, man, I've been traveling. I'm back in Spain, so I've been traveling.
You sound very relaxed or very tired?
Very demure.
Very demure? Ah. Would you have been very demure if you had gone into the stands to catch a foul ball and one guy tried to rip the ball out of your glove and the other guy grabbed your arm to arm bar you from doing anything? Like, what would have been your reaction to the two Italian gentlemen last night in Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, well, first of all, those guys are not smart. Let's just start with that. That was not a smart move because, you know, you put yourself, first off, all over the internet, all over TV. Everybody sees you, everybody's seeing what you did. And it was very, very idiotic to do that. I've heard that if it was Tommy Pham, would he have done something?
Oh, God.
Kind of hard to say that, obviously, because it's in that moment. You can't go back up there, obviously. But the funniest thing is, as soon as that happened, I text Dexter Fowler, who, if you look up the video, and when he was in right field, he went up and smacked the fan with his glove. It was epic.
Oh, and Dexter did that?
He went up and caught a ball in right field and smacked the fan with his glove at the same time. It is amazing.
I gotta find
it. And that's what you gotta do. You like, obviously, there's no retaliation that we can do. The fan gets kicked out. Hopefully that kind of fan never comes back, because I get interference and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You tried to jar his hand open.
Yeah.
The other guy tried to grab his arm and stuff like that. Like, you cannot do that. And that's zero tolerance in my book.
Woods had the great description. He said it was like he was trying to open like clams.
Like a clam.
In his pasta. Like trying to pry it open.
Rip it out of, like, he's trying to get that good clam meat out of the middle of that shell, dude. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I really, really couldn't.
He's like, opening those packages from Best Buy.
Yeah.
Plastic packages.
100%. 100%. So I know you were at the World Series in L.A. And, man, crazy first game, obviously. Absolutely crazy game. I feel bad for Aaron Boone. You know, we've talked and everybody has been talking about the moves that he's made. And what was kind of your experience being out there? You were there for those two games, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in L.A. I mean, obviously, and I did New York also. But we are in a time where obviously everybody's second-guessing everything.
Sure.
We're in the suite talking amongst ourselves about moves and things like that. But obviously we have a little bit more knowledge and wherewithal than most people and understanding the scenarios. But the same thing is, you know, they're the ones down there making the moves.
Yep.
So we can sit up there and second-guess, like, you should have left this dude in. You shouldn't have did this. You could have did this. I mean, I think game one was the Yankees game. And once, you know, we've seen Weaver not come back in, we're just like, oh, man. And then I've seen Cousins coming in. I had to ask. I was like, honestly, who is this dude? Honestly,
right.
I don't know who he is.
Right.
And Justin Upton was like, oh, no, this dude Cousins, he's got good stuff, all this stuff. Obviously, he's one of the most recent guys in our group to have played. And so obviously you see what happens unfolds, and then, you know, Nestor throwing 92 right down the middle with Freddie. Even if it was 102, Freddie was still leaving the yard.
Yeah. You called it. You tweeted it. You said Freddie's about to walk this off. Yeah.
It was just, it was timing. I seen them walk Mookie, and you could just see the thing. Mookie, I think Mookie was going to get the job done at the same time also. So seeing them walking him, I think once Sultani got out, it's real tough for a guy who's not pitching that well. And I love Nestor, but to face Mookie and to face Freeman, like that's a tough ask for anybody.
You know, and I think the game turned for me on some really, and these are the things that, and you'd probably agree with this, you can't give a team like the Dodgers three extra bases. Verdugo gave him one, Soto gave him one, and Glaber gave him one in that game. And eventually it's going to come back to bite you. And they have been still a little sloppy. I mean, you saw Glaber last night when Freddie Freeman, who allegedly has one working ankle, hits a sharp ground ball to second base. You have to turn that double play, but he kind of lollipops it over to Volpe. Volpe's got to wait for it, catch it, no momentum going through. Freddie beats it out, and they end up getting a run. I mean, those are the kind of things, AJ, drive a manager crazy, probably drive a teammate crazy as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Freddie is a gamer.
100%.
That's a great way to put it. And obviously, being a superstar with being a gamer is the best. Obviously, a guy who plays every day, posts and puts up numbers. I mean, I remember watching game one, you know, obviously Freddie getting on third with the triple in his first at bat. That was amazing seeing him lug himself around. They didn't score that inning, but you got, I remember there was the ball in Soto and Wright that was allowed a triple. And then another one where Ohtani hit the ball off the wall, threw it to second. And, you know, Glaber didn't stop the ball. Like, at the end of the day, you can't try and pick that ball.
Correct.
It's not June. It's not June. it's not June anymore. I'm sorry. You got to get in front of you. You got to stop that ball. Because that 90 feet right there, you look at what happened.
Yep.
He scored. No.
Yeah, he did.
Is that the one where
Ohtani goes to third, sack fly gets him in, man.
Base running mistakes, running around like drunks on the base paths. They're not sharp team.
No, they're not sharp at all.
No, and that's why they're in the position they're in. You can't, like I said, you can't give any team this outs, extra outs. And the Dodgers have not been giving the Yankees extra outs. That's why they have not been getting those big hits. You want to say, get a big hit. Well, if the opportunity doesn't rise, it's kind of tough to.
Yeah, it's true.
But Adam, we all know that baseball doesn't, especially in a short series, doesn't always reward the better team, the team that's playing the best. And sometimes it can come down to just a moment or two. And I want to ask you, as a guy who's been there before, last night the Yankees did what they should against the back half of the Dodgers bullpen. They broke out. They scored 11 runs. Is it possible, though, that the Dodgers woke up a sleeping giant? It can one at bat, like the last one for Judge, lock someone in, and they go forward and they're a different team starting today just because of what they were able to do yesterday?
I think the biggest thing is going to see what Flaherty has, because in game one against the Mets, he was disgusting. Game five against the Mets, he was edible. Let's see what he is tonight. And I think if you go back to Dodger Stadium, 3-2, do you trust Yamamoto to repeat that start again?
Yeah, you have to.
And then game seven, you got Buehler throwing. So, like, the thing is, the Yankees got to win tonight. You win tonight, you force hands. And you force the pressure against them. The pressure is not against the Yankees anymore. They it's like we've already written a script that they're going to lose.
Yep.
So it's just like the old Red Sox documentary that's on right now. You already wrote the script. They're down 3-0. Okay, cool. It's the gentleman sweep is what you call it when you win 3-4-1. So, you know, that's what the headlines are right now. So we got Cole throwing tonight. It depends on what Flaherty's going to look like. And I think Cole's going to do a little bit more than 88 pitches this time.
Yeah.
I think he's probably going to throw 188 if he needs to. I don't think he's going to leave it to chance for anyone. And, you know, if they win tonight and take it back to L.A., I mean, it all hands are literally on deck.
And I think, talking to Adam Jones here on Ben and Woods this morning, I do think, too, you talked about game one, pulling Weaver after 18 pitches. We certainly hate to see our manager make what we deem, from our ivory towers, a mistake. But we all, if he does do it, we also ask that he doesn't repeat it. And I thought he did a really nice job rolling with him last night for probably longer than he wanted to. Because if you're going
to
go down,
you
got to go down with your best guys. And then the Yankees being able to add on so they could throw Mesa or whatever in the last inning and get Weaver. So now Weaver, if Gerrit Cole goes eight tonight, Weaver's ready. He can get three outs and you can win a ball game tonight because you saved his ass a little bit there last night. So Aaron Boone kind of learning from his mistakes on the fly. But I, you know, the bottom of the order last night, getting it done was pretty incredible because the Yankees, those guys had not done anything to that point
at all. And they've been struggling. And again, that's what you need. You know, obviously the superstars are the superstars. They do what they do, but you do need the bottom of the lineup. You need everybody. It's a full, you know, it's full 25, 26 man roster. But with Weaver, like, that's what we're talking about in our suite is, you know, game one. Weaver threw 18, 19 pitches. It's game one. You have an opportunity to win game one right now.
On the road.
You have a – on the road.
Win it.
Tomorrow, okay, Weaver, we're not going to throw you tomorrow because we have a day off, but we got our win here. Now you can come back split. If you get game two, that's a bonus. But you can get game – you have game three back home. Weaver, 2 days off of throwing. Then you can – then it's the rest of the season. I don't think he would ever complain about not having a ball, so – again, that's sitting in the ivory tower that we do now. I'm in the ivory tower now over there, second guessing everybody's move just like everybody else.
Yep.
And we've been offering unsolicited advice just like the next man now.
Man, baseball. I mean, feels like a one-sided series, but the Yankees, if they could have gotten one more out in game one, could be tied 2-2.
Crazy.
Right,
man.
Now. Yep. I mean, just as easily as being as lopsided as it's been. Talking to Adam Jones. I'm assuming, Adam, that you have crossed paths with Will Venable a few times in your career, being a fellow outfielder. Your thoughts on the at least reports that he is going to be the next manager of the Chicago White Sox?
Well, yeah, obviously I played against Will. He played in San Diego, but I played against Will and know both him and his family very well. And that's amazing. I mean, I thought, just like everybody, that he was going to be the successor to Bruce Bochy. But I guess Bruce wants to hang on for another decade, I mean, which is awesome. He's great in baseball. I thought he'd retire after he won the fourth World Series. Go home,
man.
Hang out, go golf. But he doesn't want to do that. But no, I think Will has always been in the lines to be a manager, and it's amazing to see him be a manager. Now, the thing that sucks about being a manager is kind of like being a number one pick sometimes in the NBA. You're going to go to a crap team. You're going to go to a team like, if you got to go to the Pistons, sorry if you're a Pistons fan that's listening, it sucks. You know what I mean? You get drafted there and you go to a team that's not good. And Will is going to have to go into a situation just like that. But they got a lot of talent. They're going to have to probably make some trades in order to, you know, revamp themselves. And it's going to take a couple years. So what we need to do is just be patient with Will and understand that, you know, the situation that he just took over was extremely dire. So let's just give him the benefit of the doubt. And I'm glad that he's finally getting to run the ship because he's been waiting and waiting and waiting, and it's just his time.
Good for
and
him.
There's going to be some other new managers also named in the coming weeks and months, and it's going to be great to see some first-time managers.
Well, you know, A.J., Boch found out what Woods is learning right now. When he was retired, they asked him to keep coaching his grandkids' teams, and he realized that is much more difficult dealing with the parents and coaching the kids than being a major league manager. So I don't think Boch is ever going to retire at this point because he knows what's waiting for him if he ever does.
I mean, another 10 years.
Coaching in the big leagues, like, I wouldn't have your mom sending me nasty emails because I'm not getting you enough reps at short and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, hey, man, he's a center fielder. I'm going to play him in center field. I'm sorry, Mrs. Hey. Jones.
I would respond and say, Lil Carson likes to pick his nose during the game and look in the sky and chase butterflies.
I've got
if
you.
He can lock in, he can play.
I've
he
got a Carson on my team. I do have a Carson on my team. He's a masher, though. I'm not worried about him.
Okay.
Thank you, man.
He's not paying attention to butterflies and picking
nose. No, dude. He's
there might be a butterfly chaser, too.
He's a masher for sure. Carson. How'd you know? Oh, my God. That's creepy. Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.
All right, get some rest after all that travel. They're probably going to send you L.A. coming up in a couple of days if you're not careful. So
I'm be watching on TV.
All right. Take care, Adam.
Thanks, bro.
Adam Jones, as Big League Wednesday, it's always good to talk to him and some good insight. Man, that guy sounded jet lagged.
As soon as I called, I was like, ooh, I think I woke him up.
I mean, he's in Spain, so it's the middle of the afternoon. It's not
wake up.
Not
you call, but he said he was in New York, too. Like, he might have just flown back.
L.A.,
right?
New York, Spain. The guy is on, the clock is messed up.
He's
for
like,
sure.
I gotta call these
I don't know when the time difference, do they change daylight savings in Spain or not? No idea.
I have no idea. All I know is I get mine this weekend.
I saw that Dexter Fowler catch you talked about.
Yeah.
It was to end a game. He goes up over the wall, the exact same spot as Mookie Betts last night.
Oh, really?
And he like leans up. There wasn't as many fans. It was, you know, random, what was that, Reds game or whatever. He goes up, and then as he's coming back down, he kind of like swings his glove and hits the fan
on
the shoulder.
Yeah. There you go. Sorry about that. Sorry about it. Got to go get it.
Get out of the way.
Yeah, all in the process of making the catch.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, I didn't do that. Didn't do that intentionally. I was all in the process of making the catch.
I couldn't believe that last night, man. Just insane. Insane behavior. It has not died down even a little bit this morning. It is pretty crazy. And they, like I said, I put myself in the Dodger shoes. If that was Fernando Tatis Jr. and somebody did that to him, I might have had a stroke. I might have gone ballistic. When you see that man's hands on his arm, bro, I don't know. Like that there was some kind of, it didn't feel right to me.
All right, we are down 2 hours already in our show today. We still have Brett Boone coming up on a Big League Wednesday.
This is crazy. Talking to the manager's brother.
Yeah, with the World Series still underway. And we did postpone Take on Woods from our last hour, so we've got that coming up as well. A chance to win some San Diego State basketball tickets. Do not go away. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.